Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Amazing Race Rewind podcast, the podcast where we rewind back in time to watch the earliest seasons of The Amazing Race for the first time. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Jill.
And we are here back with a guest. Well, not back. This is the first time we're having this brand new guest on. Please welcome Sarah. Sarah, how Hi. Are you feeling today?
I'm good.
Yeah. So we like, and it's been a while since we've had a guest, so we're a little out of practice.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Typically, what we like to do with a guest is we ask you a couple questions. So the first question would be, how familiar are you with The Amazing Race? You're obviously American, so you would have grown up with the version we're watching right now, not the Canadian one we grew up with. Did you know anything about it before this, or is this your first time like actually watching? Did you know anything about the show?
So I have heard of it. And I've heard a lot about it from you, Jill, but I've never seen an episode in full.
So you weren't aware of the rules, but you kind of get the general premise.
Yeah. Like, okay. The specifics, like the little bonus things that they had going on, I didn't know about, but they explained it all. Like, it's very, this isn't the right word, but like user-friendly. Like, it explains everything as you go. Every time you see the people, they have the names, so you don't get confused. Like, it's very easy to just pick up wherever.
That's a good point. Yeah, I forget what one of we usually it's three questions, Andrew. I only remember the other one that we like to ask our guests is if you had to do this with someone, who would be your ideal teammate? Would you go with your brother? Would you go with your mom? Like, who do you think would balance your skill set out well enough to win this race?
I feel like me and my mom would not do very well, but I feel like either my brother or my friend Carolyn, because I feel like she would do a lot of the challenges that I wouldn't want to.
Right.
And she speaks German and Japanese and some Spanish. So I feel like she'd be able to kind of like help us out.
Yeah. The linguist, help you get around.
Language is an asset, yeah. Even if you are speaking Spanish in Russia. I mean, Italian in Russia, as we saw Charlotte and Mirna do this episode quite a few times.
Bellissimo.
Yeah. Sarah, what were your impressions of this episode? Or, because if this is your first episode you've ever seen of the show, in my opinion, this was a great episode.
Yeah, but it was a great episode to first dive into it with.
Yeah, but what were your thoughts on the show? Do you have opinions? Do you like it? Do you think it was ridiculous? Did you hate it? Was it boring? Were you engaged? What's up?
I actually really liked it. I did not know what to expect, but I was expecting it when I turned it on, and it is like season 5, so the video quality is like not amazing. And so I was like, oh, okay, I see where this is going. And then, like, really quickly, I was like, oh, okay, no, this is actually, like, really cool. And they were going to cool places. And, like, this is, I don't know, the film thought in me, but I kept being like, how do they do this, like, permit-wise?
I know.
Because there's so many places. And so,
It's a permitting and planning nightmare from the logistics standpoint.
Yes! And you have no idea when anybody's going to get to every location, so your permits are just, like, all over the place.
That was, not to interrupt, but that was something that I think in season 1, when they ran this the first time, they had talked about in the interviews with the creators, is sometimes, like, the showrunners and people who are setting things up couldn't get to the location before a team. Like, teams would show up to places, and there wouldn't be a clue box, and then they'd walk around for a bit and go back to that same place, and then the clue box would be there. So, by this point, I think they've ironed out all those issues.
Yeah.
I think, like, they've got some system going. But, no, those were genuine problems when the show started.
But I was thinking about that, this, like, with Colin and Christy, who were so far ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this could be a scenario where they're actually faster than the producers. But production, I guess it is season 5 by now. They're probably much better at laying things out. So that wouldn't happen anymore.
Because also, I mean, I don't know if you could tell, Sarah, but and not to spoil the episode for anyone, but the situation with Colin and Christy is pretty rare. Like, you don't, especially, they had a bit of that in season 1. But up to this point, they've been pretty good about keeping teams close together.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a minute with the episode.
Yeah. And this episode was good because it was a travel episode, but there was still a lot task-wise. And within Cairo, you saw the teams doing a lot of cool cultural tasks.
Yes.
And because usually when you have the intercontinental travel, that kind of consumes the whole episode. But this episode, I thought, did a really great job of balancing both. And I was entertained throughout.
Yeah. And the travel, like, you had teams, they were thinking on their feet. And how do we get here faster? Getting faster flights. And actually, no one was really, quote unquote, left behind. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But, all right, should we... Am I forgetting any other questions, or should we just jump right into
I think we're good to get right into the beginning of season 5, episode 5, where we are starting at Catherine's Palace, which is just outside of St. Petersburg, Russia.
Yes, and they're instructed to go back into St. Petersburg to the Hermitage Museum, which is one of the largest in the world, and they have to look for a Rembrandt painting. Rembrandt's Return of the I can never say this word. Prodigal?
Yeah.
Return of the Prodigal Son, which I think is a very cool task. So,
and did they say, did they say amongst 3 million art pieces?
Yeah, yeah. So they're not really, they're not given any direction to this. They're just told it's in the museum. And people figure it out in a variety of ways. Some of them just by literally walking around. Some of them look thematically for the depiction that as it would be in the Bible. I think the easiest way to do it would just be look for a section on Rembrandt, but... No, they're kind of on their own with how they have to find this.
When was this episode filmed? Because I kept wanting them to Google it, which is, like, obviously not part of it, but, like, I was wondering.
2004. However, I haven't seen, like, the last, most recent seasons of Amazing Race or Amazing Race Canada, but I do know that there are, I think with this show now, you have to hand in your phone, and, like, the only way you can access that information is, like, you have to ask people to Google it. At this point... At this point, there's nothing. So Chip and Kim are first, right? They're departing first.
They're the first to depart. And I was really looking at the times because I wanted to know how far apart teams were or how long it took them to do the caviar task from last episode. And I found this to be interesting. So Chip and Kim, they were departing at 9:11 a.m. Colin and Christy were departing at 9:42 a.m. So that means that took 30 minutes longer than Chip and Kim.
To recap, Sarah, because I feel like this is... So, Colin and Christy were ahead, like, all of the last episode, but then they got to the end, and the last task before the pit stop was a roadblock, so only one person from the team could do it, and it was eating a 1 kilo... It was eating 1 kilo of black caviar.
That sounds disgusting.
It really skewed the order, because, like, some people just couldn't physically stomach it, and Chip and Kim just kind of blew through it and were able to get in first.
Yeah. Wow. So we have Marshall and Lance after Colin and Christy departing at 10:09 a.m. and we get Marshall talking about his knee. This is going to come up a few more times this episode, and he can barely walk. And with this, I'm thinking, how is he supposed to go on in this race hobbling with his knee? Because you see several times he's like struggling to walk.
Yeah, they don't harp on it a ton, but anytime the camera cuts to him visually, you can tell he's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I have like a note that in my notes that just says, "Bro, stop if your knees are dying," which is like easier said than done. But like,
oh, you don't suffer. Earlier in the season, a guy had how many stitches in his knee, Andrew?
I can't remember. Was it like 30? But I can't see because with Amazing Race, there's no time really to rest or to heal.
No.
Your knee issues.
You get 12 hours between legs.
He just has to push through it. And to his credit, he seems to be doing it. He seems to be quite resilient with his knee issues.
I think that's it. He's not, from what we were shown, he's not complaining a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of just like limping along.
Limping right along. Charlotte and Myrna are the next to depart. And Myrna is going to choo-choo at a local and be met with silence.
That was pissing me off.
First of many choo-choos this episode.
It's one of those... Here's the thing, though. For her, she's unlucky. But for other teams, it does prove a fruitful way to get directions to the train station. But it's another one of those examples where I just love how certain things are just kind of universally translatable. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, choo-choo equals train. But not to this man that Myrna was talking to. Because could you imagine how humiliating it would be to go up to somebody and be like, choo-choo, and they just like stare at you blankly?
I think the only redeeming factor here is that Myrna's obviously a tourist. She's obviously like a Western tourist. Because it's one thing, it's like, you know, they also make a very, it's winter in St. Petersburg, so there's a very stark contrast between how the Russians are dressed for winter and how these Americans are dressed for winter. So it just kind of amplifies the not the humor of that moment, just the absurdity of it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of choo-chooing going on. They probably said it maybe 4 or 5 times to different people. And then, but they're not the only ones. Yes, Chip and Kim are telling their cab driver choo-choo. Brandon and Nicole are going to use this.
I think everybody said it.
Everybody said it. Choo-choo.
What is train in Russian? Give me a second.
I don't know. But something that was interesting is that Brandon and Nicole actually were departing at 11:50 a.m. So that meant that Nicole was doing the caviar task for at least 2.5 hours. Oh, sitting there in front of that bowl. Which I would have liked to know that during the last episode, to know the severity of how bad it was.
That would have been like a timer on how long they had been there.
Yeah.
Also, train in Russian. I thought like, oh, maybe it's similar to like Spanish, which is like tren, el tren, where it's kind of like universal. No, it's tren, trenerovatsia.
Wow.
And that's train. Okay. That's not even train station. Anyway, continue.
Oh, wow.
Linda and Karen are leaving at 12:14 p.m. So actually only 24 minutes later than Brandon and Nicole. So they could have caught them last episode. But Cammie and Carly were 40 minutes after the bowling moms. So they were at the caviar task for quite long as well. Okay, we see Chip and Kim. They are going to do this museum task. And I love Chip here, where he's just coming in and he's asking every single person, do you know where the Return of the Prodigal Son, Return of the Prodigal Son, over and over again.
I have to say, there are multiple moments in this episode where I don't think I've noticed it so much in the last couple, but Chip is he just seems so genuine and positive, and he's always just so quick to point out things that he's... Like, later on when they get to Egypt, he's just kind of like, we're here, and it's beautiful, and there's these amazing pyramids that were built, like, thousands of years. Like, he's just so aware of what an opportunity this is. And I love to see that.
He's very much like a cartoon character. He's very animated. I thought he was really fun. Sarah, did you have impressions of Chip or Chip and Kim this episode?
I mean, I thought he was, like, too positive. Like, he wasn't focused on what he needed to do. He was kind of just like, whoa, look at all these landmarks. Look at all this history. And I'm like, that's cool, but you're not on vacation. You're in a race. Let's lock in.
And that's the struggle of The Amazing Race, is it's the balance between... The whole purpose of this race is to go out into the world and to see stuff, and you want to enjoy it so much, but then you're racing. So it's that weird, it's so hard to keep it in balance.
Yeah. Generally speaking, Sarah, did you have a team that kind of stuck out to you that you were rooting for the most, or that you liked the most?
I did like the people who got there first, which I feel like is like...
Colin and Christy?
Yeah, Colin and Christy, because they seem like the best pair. Like, they seem like they have the best dynamic. Either that or like the guy with the knee, like that team.
Marshall and Lance,
because everybody else, there was like weird tension between everyone. Like, specifically, was it Brandon Nicole, like the blonde guy?
Because
first of all, their description is dating/models, which I think is silly. And then this Brandon guy seems incompetent. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't listen to his girlfriend. There are so many things that they could have done better if he had just listened to her. So I was, like, actively rooting for their downfall.
Okay, but they ended up doing... Yeah, there was one moment where this was near the end of the episode where they'd completed the detour, and Brandon was like, are you mad at me? To Nicole. I was like, come on, take the clue and go. Really, enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, though, what I like about this season's teams is none of them are... there's not one that's, like, super negative or, like, a super combative team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of them are pretty... They have a pretty... good dynamic. They're able to work together. But I will say, I'm at the point in the season where my standouts for who I think it's also like the first time I've really identified with a team, and it would be Colin and Christy, is just their intensity and their competence. I'm not calling myself overly competent, but I'm just saying I would like to think that's how I would be. But it is the first time for us watching these older seasons where I'm like, I actually see a little bit of how I would operate in that team. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandon and Nicole, they are displaying some PDA on Russian Transit. They're kind of cooing at each other, saying how in love they are. Okay, Chip and Kim find the painting first and are instructed to go to the top of the Tower of Cairo in Egypt. Egyptology, activate.
Yes, indeed. My limited knowledge of Egyptology.
Yeah, well, good thing we have an Egyptologist right here.
Yeah, no, yeah, in training, Egyptologist in training.
Yes. Okay, and then we see the twins and bowling moms. They are once again fighting at the back of the pack. Colin, true to his character, is going to power walk through the museum and just point at paintings aggressively. Yes.
We should add, okay, so there's not like a clue box hidden in the museum. The way that it's done is there's a museum worker following the team around, and they have to point at the correct painting for the museum worker to give them their clue. So it's not like, oh, just look for the clue box. No, you have to look at the paintings.
Can they not just, like, ask for, like, a map of the museum? Like, does that not exist? Like, I feel like most museums of that size have, like, a guide that you can, like, pick up, like a pamphlet.
I think some teams kind of knew where they were going, because I remember Charlotte and Mirna were like, oh, it's on the second floor. So maybe... Yeah,
Charlotte and Mirna are on the train into the city, and they start asking around, and one woman says, like, second floor. So that they have that reference, but... Other than that, I don't know. Colin and Christy seem to have been using a little bit of a map, but not, like, it was, like, a fire escape map on the wall by the looks of it. It wasn't a detailed map. But no one overly struggles with this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a cool task, though. I liked that it wasn't just, here's a clue box, go to the next place.
Yeah.
And I like that they had to pay attention to the paintings, because it's a Rembrandt, and it's one of the, like, most... The museum itself just hosts a wealth of art history overall, and it's so rich and beautiful, and it's like, yes, focus. I think that's what this episode did so well. It's like, focus on the culture in front of you.
And it was so rich and beautiful that Sharla had to say, look how pretty it is. Ooh, bellissimo.
Bellissimo. Which is Italian for any of our linguists out there. Yeah. Let me check if I have it right.
That's not the last time she's going to use that word. This is her favorite word of the episode. Okay, so we see teams are going to the airport. So actually, Colin and Christy, they decide they're going to go to a travel agent before the airport.
Both Colin and Christy and Chip and Kim go to travel agents, right? Or Chip and Kim at the airport?
I think Chip and Kim were at the airport, and they went to the Lufthansa office.
Yeah, they kind of just went to the information desk, I think. I think the Colin and Christy went to, like, an outside travel agent. So is that, like, the move? Because, like, it seems like they got a much better deal.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any regulations on it now when you race in terms of where you can buy your tickets. At the time, I don't want to say they do it every time. It's usually, like, in a leg where... Where were they? Is it last season they were in India and they were just all using travel agencies to book their flights? Yeah.
I kind of do think that travel agent is the move. Although...
It benefits the teams who do it. Because I think also, obviously, when you're going to the airport and you're running between desks and talking to the desks and trying to, you know, the desk is... They're going to want to get you on their flight. Yeah. So, whereas the travel agent... And that's kind of what happens here. So, Chip and Kim... They get on a Lufthansa flight, which goes through Frankfurt and has them arriving into Cairo the next day at 3:15 p.m. Colin and Christy, through the travel agent, get on, I think it's the Air France flight, which has them stopping in Paris. Yeah, and then getting into Egypt at about an hour earlier. But that's also going to change in a bit.
Marshall and Lance find themselves in the Lufthansa office with Charlotte and Mirna, who they notably immensely dislike. And as a greeting to the Lufthansa ticket agent, Mirna says, "Hello, bellissimo." This is such funny behavior to me. Just going around and saying bellissimo to everybody.
I don't know if it's like, I hope she knows it's not translating at all there. I hope she's like well aware that no one's picking up on that.
Like, is she Italian? Like,
maybe. I
or not as not as far as we know.
Yeah.
So she's just like saying bellissimo.
Yeah. She, as far as we know.
Yeah, it's not like her catchphrase or anything. I don't think we've heard her say this before.
She's just picked it up.
Yeah, the team they were able to manage decent Spanish, like pretty good Spanish, to get them through Argentina where they were before. But bellissimo is notably not Spanish.
Yes. So we see we're at the airport. Colin and Chris are on the earlier flight. We see Chip and Kim, Charlene, Myrna, Brandon, and Nicole are all going to get on the Lufthansa flight. And we just go to the bowling moms and the twins who are racing to the airport to try and get on this flight with everybody
and they
else.
Make it, yeah, they make it one of those, oh, are they going to make it? Is it going to... I honestly thought both teams weren't going to make it. But surprisingly, the twins get on the flight with the other four teams? Five
yes.
teams?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there are five get on the total. Lufthansa.
Yeah, so they get on the Lufthansa flight, and then I'm like, oh, like, I hate these episodes where you've got one team that's, like, hours behind. However, lo and behold, the bowling moms find out that they will get on another flight out of St. Petersburg in the morning to Frankfurt, and their connection will be the same flight as the other teams. So that's going to be a level playing ground. Obviously, all the other mm-hmm. teams except Colin and Christy.
And they were relieved. They were high-fiving and chuckling to themselves. This was really lucky for the bowling moms, but I was cheering.
Can we go back to them going to the domestic airport?
Like, yes, of course. So, language barrier moment. They get in the cab, and they're trying to make sure the driver knows airplane, airport. You know that, right? You know that? Silence. And he brings them to the domestic airport. They walk up to the desk and say, Cairo. And instantly, the lady's like, no. Not here.
No.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah, you need an international airport. Sarah, what did you make of this whole airport sequence? Did you find that it was interesting? Was it engaging to you?
Honestly, like, I really enjoyed the airport sequence. It was very much like, yeah. Oh my gosh, are they going to find another flight? Are they going to figure this out? Like, the beginning where they're all in the Lufthansa booking area was like, that's crazy. Like, it just shows how close everybody was at that point, where they're literally in the office at the exact same time. And then we get to the bowling moms going to a domestic airport, and you can tell, like, I think it just says it on the building. I'm like, can you not? Like, you would have saved like 15 minutes probably, just look at the building, being like, yeah. Okay, I'm in the wrong place, getting in another like taxi. I feel like it's just observation skills at that point.
I don't remember what if the sign, though, was written. Was it written in the Latin alphabet or the Cyrillic alphabet for the airport?
I feel like I it was, like, both. Sign. Like.
So then we go to Colin and Christy, who are arriving in Paris. And they, a lot of these teams, I think most teams on this season, are very savvy in the sense that they're always looking for something faster. So
and
Colin
it pays
and Christy,
off.
Yes, they are able to get onto a flight that's 12 hours earlier than their initial flight.
So they were supposed to land in Cairo at 2:35 p.m. They get to Paris, they go up to the desk, and they're like, is there anything sooner? And the agent says, in 1 hour, you have 1 hour. So they are able to, yeah, like you said, they are going to get in now at 2:35 a.m. instead of, they're basically 13 hours ahead of all the other teams at this point.
Which is crazy. Like, that's, like, a crazy amount of time that they just saved with, like, a question.
I know. And that's something that they've changed more so with the modern seasons. They have more of a tighter grip on the team so that this doesn't happen and so that it is more competitive. We go to the Frankfurt airport where we see Charlotte and Myrna. They're going to be sneaky
here. I love
this. They are going to be proactive and look for a faster flight.
And they find one. They, I guess, kind of get on the, basically, probably the route of some sort that Colin and Christy would have taken, because they get into Cairo 50 minutes earlier, but they're not going to tell anyone. They pull a full, like, wait till everyone's sleeping and then and dash away.
Yeah, this was really fun to watch. They played it very smart. They're like, okay, we can't sneak off yet. Oh, but the boarding's soon. No, we have to wait for them to fall asleep. And then they just kind of, like, scurry away while everybody is sleeping.
It was like a movie moment. Like, it was so
funny. This was really well done. And also, like, well done by the editors as well, because when Charlotte and Myrna arrive at the airport, you can see how they're, like, on their own and they're searching for other flights, and then cut to all the other teams, like, laughing and being friendly.
And then the bowling moms show up, and it's like, hey, one big reunion, and they're all just, like, hanging around. But again, if you're proactive and you get out there and you ask questions and you're like, there has to be a better deal, pays off.
It pays off. So this was really great to see from Charlotte and Myrna, kudos to them. Clap, clap.
Yes. However, they are still a full 12 hours behind Colin and Christy.
Yes. But effectively put themselves ahead.
They can't really do anything right now, though, because it's like everything's closed. Like, they get there at 2 in the morning. And so they're kind of just waiting at that point.
Yes. So they go to Colin and Christy, get to Cairo. They go to the Tower of Cairo. And I was a little scared for a moment. I was like, oh, no, please tell me it doesn't have ridiculous hours that are going to allow the other teams to catch up. But it opens at 9 a.m., which, as Colin points out, still gives them, like, a seven-hour advantage.
Yeah.
And they are going to sleep on the ground. No problem.
I love that. And Colin even says when he wakes up, he's like, it's amazing. You wake up and you're looking up at the Tower of Cairo.
Yes. And meanwhile, in Frankfurt, everybody is waking up and they're boarding the flight and they're looking around. They're like, wait a minute, where's Charlotte and Myrna? And Marshall and Lance give a great quote here.
Yeah.
Saying, this was a good episode for Marshall and Lance. Usually they've been a little bit more unlikable, but...
Or they're just in the background and we don't see them, but we saw them a bit more this time.
But they said, we don't like Myrna and Charlotte, but the one thing we do know about them is that they're not stupid. So period to that.
I liked that team. What was it? Someone and Lance? What is it?
Marshall and Lance. Yeah, Marshall they had a good episode. I thought they
were pretty good.
Yeah. So, yes, Colin and Christy, it's the next morning. They're waking up. They go to the Tower of Cairo. And they open the clue and they see the first fast forward of the season. First of only two. Jill, you are sighing.
Here's the thing. Okay. It's different than last season, right? Like, okay, so Sarah, for the last couple seasons, the fast forward, there would be one on every leg. And the rule was you could take it at any point, but you could only use it once. So if you use that once, then that's gone. And I don't know if, like, I don't know if that same rule applies because there's only two. However, if that same rule does apply, which I was reading this as it does, I think this was the worst possible time to take the fast forward. I understand you want to, like, pull the rug out from someone behind you, like you want to keep them as far away from you as possible, but I'm like, you have like seven hours on some of these people. I guess, well, nine,
three, but still, five, like, I was five, thinking that, like, as well, like, because they were explaining it and like the host explained it as you can use it whenever, and I was just thinking, I was like, it seems wasteful because you're gonna be so far ahead anyway, assuming you actually, like, focus and do the tasks quickly.
So here's the thing. I didn't think it was a horrible decision. Because here's why. Because there's only going to be one other fast forward throughout the entirety of the race. So there's only going to be one more chance. And who's to say that they will get there in a position that allows them to take the fast forward? So if the next fast forward is on, I don't know, leg eight, and they're in fourth place in leg eight, then probably the first three teams, they're likely going to take the fast forward before them. So I think it's just a matter of taking it while you can and trying to extend your lead even further.
So they can't, hold on, I think guess. I didn't understand what exactly the fast forward is. Because if they decided not to use it, would they be able to hold on to it for another challenge, or is the next team able to take it?
You can only use it when it's given on that leg. So you can only like, if they left it there, if they didn't use it, another team could have used it then. But it's not like they can just hold on to the card and whip it out whenever they want. There are set points when you can choose to use it.
Got it. Then I take back what I said. I think it was smart. if the alternative of them not using it is giving it to another team, I think they should use it.
I don't know. I think, like, I'm just worried that it's going to come back. Like, I think if it were me, not so much them, but if it were me, I'd be worried it would come back around to bite me. And it'd be like, there'd be the moment where it's later in the season and we could really use this fast forward, but we were stupid and used one when we didn't necessarily need to.
Yeah, that's the risk. That's the risk you run. But I don't think either way, I don't think there's a horrible decision to make there. I think if you take it, it's fine. If you don't, that's fine also.
Yeah. But anyway, so I liked the fast forward task. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But hold on a minute. What did you think of them changing how the fast forward works and it being only twice in the season? Because usually it's every single leg, there's an opportunity for a fast forward.
I did like that. I prefer this.
Me too. Yeah, because I think it makes it a little bit more interesting. And because before, when we had fast forwards every single leg, it was just whoever has a fast forward wins. And there's not much of a competition there. And it also, like, it makes the fast forward more powerful as well.
I do agree. I think it's much better. It's a good way to kind of update the show. Because there are some updates that we are going to find out later I'm not as happy about. We'll come back to that in a second. But I was okay with this.
Yes. Me too. Yeah, I did like this change. So the fast forward task was to go to a pharaonic, did I say that right? Pharaonic village. And they have to transport a sarcophagus via ferry to a temple to deliver it to a priest inside. And Colin and Christy said, you know what? Let's do it.
Pretty easy. They don't seem to, they struggle a little bit to find the sarcophagus in the first place. Overall, doesn't seem like they're very challenged.
This was, like, one of the couple times where I just wanted to, like, scream at the guys in this show. Because it's, like, the girl on your team, like, your wife, your girlfriend, she's right. She knows what she's talking about. And the guys are just so stubborn. They're like, no, I've got it. I know exactly what we're doing. And then they lead the team in the wrong direction. And this happened, like, multiple times in the episode. And this is, like, the first time that I was really like, guys, come on.
We gotta get it together. This was where we see Colin and Christy, they go at it a little bit, where Christy was like, we need to do this, and Colin was like, no. But then Christy was actually right, and she said, well, you should have listened to me. And yeah, he should have.
It's a very quick, like, not even fight scene, just like debate, because they're hauling the sarcophagus.
Yeah.
It's like they're hauling the sarcophagus and they bring it to the temple at the end, and there's just a priest, like, just kind of shaking his head at them as they're, like, having their little banter, their little heated banter.
Yes.
So I mean, it wasn't super dramatic, but, like, it was it was silly.
It was silly. It was something. It was the most we've seen out of Colin and Christy as far as in team fighting.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So they are then instructed to go to the pit stop, which is at the Sphinx, and are in first place. I think
this could be my favorite pit stop location ever, because, like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
And they're, like, right in front of it, too.
Yeah, right in front of the Sphinx right there. And they arrive and are pretty much an entire day ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
And we that's where we see the end of them. It's, like, 20 minutes into the episode.
They're at the done. Pit stop. They're
it's
gone.
Over. Okay.
They, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Colin and Christy.
So now we get to actually see the meat and bones of this episode, which is the detour and the roadblock and stuff. So Charlotte and Myrna arrive. They go to the Cairo Tower, Tower of Cairo. And we get to actually hear what the next instructions are, which is to go to the Giza Plateau, which is kind of the area all in front of the, you know, the iconic pyramids and also close to the Sphinx there. And I was so excited because this is what we're talking about, I think, in this episode specifically in terms of cultural interaction, is it's even though they're not interacting per se with the pyramids and the Sphinx and stuff, they're interacting with other stuff in the area. But it's just being totally immersed in that history and being able to see it and do stuff around it. That's what I love.
Yeah, it's really, they're really utilizing this location to the maximum. Mm-hmm. Because both the roadblock and the detour both happened at the same, and the pit stop were all within the same Giza Plains. Is that what it's called? Giza Plains?
Plateau,
yes. Okay, so yes, they go to the Giza Plateau. And they're told to follow yellow rocks to their next clue, which this is what they did. Remember in season one during the Tunisia desert driving disaster? That's how everybody got lost. Oh, where
people got lost in the desert, yeah.
Why would you make the rocks yellow in the desert when everything is yellow?
Sarah, it was so bad. It was like in season one, they were in cars and they were just driving around. Like, there was a sandstorm coming and a team was lost for hours. And
it was just
a bad situation overall. Like, they learned very quickly they needed more control over teams.
Wow. Yes. So, yes. And then the flight after, with the majority of the teams on it, arrive. And everybody gets going. And somehow, even though everybody was on the same flight, the twins and the bowling moms end up in the back once again. I don't know how this happened to them.
Yeah.
Inexplicably.
I think it was probably them getting taxis, though, because it sounded like the Marshall and Lance took the taxi that the twins wanted. So it sounds like they got, like, the first round of taxis, and then the bowling moms and the twins were, like, kind of stuck behind.
They had to wait.
Yeah.
Charlotte and Myrna get the clue. They follow the yellow rock, so they're fine. And we see the roadblock, which the prompt is, who's up for going down?
And Andrew, I'm going to surprise you here. I would love to do this one.
Okay, so here's the thing. From the prompt, this sounds like a heights task.
Really?
Yeah. Because I thought they were saying, like,
who's up for going down?
Yeah.
I thought going it was like, down.
Yes, but like going down. Like bungee jumping or rappelling or...
Going down, going under the earth's surface.
Yeah, but you're who's up Egypt for going down? You're in
Egypt in the pyramids with tombs. Where are they going up, Andrew?
That's, yes, okay. So they're going also, down. Also,
like, you're standing right next to a tunnel. Like, I feel like it's kind of obvious also, where they're going.
Yes, that also. Okay, so the task is to climb down a series of ladders to the base of the Osiris shaft, which is 140 feet below ground, and they have to search a watery tomb for a satchel, which they're going to present to an Egyptologist.
Is this your new favorite word?
No, I just thought it was so funny that they had an Egyptologist when Jill is in Egyptology. To get okay. Their next clue.
Maybe my knowledge of Egypt is not to that level yet.
Your knowledge I'd of Egypt like is one there. Course and the mummy.
Well, that's all you need.
We're cutting that out. I want to sound a little more educated than that.
No, please leave that there.
Anyway.
Of Sharla and Myrna, Myrna is scared. So Sharla says, let's go.
I think this would be so fun. Like, here's the thing. It's fairly well lit. I think the most difficult part of the task does appear to be going down this ladder, and I guess it's fairly hot underground, obviously. So, I think it's... I don't know. On one hand, I feel like my imagination would get the better of me, and I would just be freaking out, but then it's also so cool, and it's... And, I don't know.
You're also going to have someone with a camera with you. Like,
exactly. So, I'm like, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Like, if I was with someone else, I'd probably see if they wanted to, but if they didn't want to, I would do it.
Yeah, it doesn't prove to be, like, a contention point forever, not like a Heather and Eve skydiving breakdown.
Yeah, not one of those. Yeah, this task, it was cool to see, not overly challenging, but I did like seeing people descend down the ladder and grab the satchel from the water.
I think Brandon, when he does it, he says, like, oh, I feel like Indiana Jones. And it's really cool. You don't get a lot of opportunities to be in those, like, adventure, archaeology, historical movie type scenarios, but in real life.
Yes. So, Charla, she gets her satchel, and she says, okay, perfecto. No problemo. So, more Italian coming from them.
That's I don't know what that could about. Be Spanish, though.
Okay. could be Spanish. So once they get the bag and bring it back up, they have to empty the contents of the bag, which are puzzle pieces, and they're going to have to put it over a map, and then there's a hole in the puzzle, which will show them where their next clue will be.
It's, yeah, I don't know. I didn't love this setup of, like, it's cool. I think my issue with this is, like, some teams saw it right away, and they're like, obviously, this is what we have to do. And it was, and other teams were just like, I have no clue. So I didn't like that it was kind of this, like, I have no clue.
Did the twins even do the puzzle? Because they were kind of just staring at it, like, where do we go?
No, they got helped by another team. They just started walking aimlessly. And the thing is, so the puzzle is, the map is an area of the Giza Plateau. And this is what annoyed me. There's kind of a red outline drawn in the shape of the frame of the puzzle on the map. So it's very obvious that something has to be overlaid there Yeah. So you can see that the next clue is at the corner of one of the pyramids.
Yeah, I think throughout this episode, the twins were very frazzled and very discombobulated. They were all over the place. I don't think they were thinking straight. I think they were just running in all sorts of different directions, literally. Because when they get to the Giza Plateau, they don't see any yellow rocks, but they're running. The pressure of elimination, true. I think it really got to them. And this is where we see the bowling moms are going to follow them as well. And Linda is going to take a tumble and her ankle is going to twist.
Yep. And I thought they would come back to that because we cut to commercial and then it's never brought up again.
Yeah. So, well, she says like, ow, later, I think.
But it was a dramatic fall and it was like, it was very dramatic. Fades out, slow-mo, cut to commercial. We never hear about it again.
Yeah. So she's fine.
So Charlotte and Myrna finish the roadblock. I think at this point we're starting to see the other plane that has all the other teams on it arrive. They all go to the tower and they're all basically, I think it's Nicole says that for her this is a race for last, like they are effectively all racing for last place.
Yeah, but it's good that it's a large group of them racing for last place. Yes. And not just one or two teams at the back. So, okay, Brandon is afraid of doing the Roblox because of the crevices. Not sure but what still that means. Does it. Yes. Also, when Charlotte and Myrna are going to find the clue box for the detour, Myrna looks like she climbs up some stones that could be the base of a pyramid.
She Charlotte tells Myrna to get up on the base of the pyramid, like the first step of stone. So she has a higher vantage point to look, which I don't know pyramid etiquette. Like, is
this allowed?
Let me look. I'll give like it a quick
probably
Google.
Probably not. I mean, it works, but like, still, that seems kind of odd.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays you're not even, you wouldn't be allowed to get close to the pyramids.
Yeah.
No, climbing not. On the Giza pyramids is strictly illegal and dangerous.
Oh, and they got it on video. How awesome.
But she was doing it. Maybe back in 2004, it was fine. Who knows?
Maybe.
The penalty for it will be at least 1 month's imprisonment and or a fine of about $600 to $6,000.
Okay, oh so next God. Episode, it's starting with Myrna in prison. Prison break.
Tourists were once able to climb the pyramids, but that is no longer allowed. Well, when did that change?
Yeah, when did that change?
Egypt stopped allowing pyramid climbing in the 80s after several climber deaths, but it wasn't until 2019 that a new law explicitly criminalized it. Okay, right. So it wasn't criminalized until 2019.
Okay, so very recently.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they get to the detour with the help of the pyramid's height vantage point. Okay, the detour is rock and roll or hump and ride.
Yeah, I did like, this was not my least favorite detour, it's not my favorite. Rock and roll is, you have to transport these two fairly large, heavy stones using kind of a pulley system, not pulley system, it's like a cart sled system that was used to haul rocks to build the pyramids and other monuments. Hump and ride is what you have to get on two horses and then like take these camels across. Yeah. And this is where Myrna starts bringing up the point of we're losing daylight, we got to go quick, like, because they choose to do the hump and ride and they're the only ones.
They get to the place before, like, right as it closes too, like, to get on the the horses and the camels. They get there right at 5:30, I think it was.
Yeah, and it closed at 5:30 and it was like 5:27 when they made a run for it. And when they were running, Myrna, did you catch this? She shouted, Charlotte, run, blow your whistle.
Oh my God, okay. I have such an issue with this. I understand that not everyone grew up around horses. I understand not everyone grew up on a farm or with animals. Common sense, don't blow a whistle at a horse. Like, nothing happens, but the horses do kind of freak out a little bit, understandably so. But I'm just like, animal etiquette, don't do that.
Well, she had to let them know that they were coming. Blow your whistle, don't close the task, we're coming.
Oh my God. I had an issue with the whistle, but nevertheless. So,
yeah. And when Myrna arrives, she says, yay, Habibi, we made it. multilingual queen. So this is a very scenic shot of when they're on their horses in the desert while the sun is going down. This was very cool to see.
They were saying it's a Lawrence of Arabia. They were comparing themselves to Lawrence of Arabia.
I feel like this was the easier one of the two. Like, I feel like, I know they were like, oh, it might take longer because they're animals and it's unpredictable. But if you have a choice between intense physical labor and sitting on a camel and hoping, or on a horse and hoping it's fast enough, but you're not even going that far on the horse. Like, I would pick that one.
It's not that far, and the horses and the camels, they all seemed very compliant. Like, there was no wrestling with this.
However, we've always brought up the point, Andrew, of if there's an animal option and another option, you don't put your trust and faith in the animals.
Yeah, because what if the animal just doesn't want to move? Then what?
Exactly. Or
what if it doesn't listen to you? Then you're screwed.
So, again, this seems pretty easy for them, and they are the only team to do it. As we kind of see the other teams finish the roadblock and start this detour, the rock and roll detour, it's dark out now. Like, there are big stadium lights. Teams are finishing the roadblock, basically all of them, and then they are now, the rest, Mira and Sharla are headed to the pit stop while the rest of the teams are starting the rock and roll.
Yeah, also, I think this is the first time we've seen teams, most teams being forced to do one of the detour tasks because the other one was closed, which I guess was a lapse in judgment by the producers. Like, maybe they were expecting them to get there faster, or maybe they were like a day ahead of what people were expecting, what the producers were expecting. But could the producers not have like paid the people more, or like have this task open for longer?
I think it's a safety thing in terms of like lighting and taking these animals through the dark. It's, to me, it was a safety thing.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but everybody is forced to do the rock and roll, which proves to be a little bit tricky.
Yeah. So I'll try and give a visual description for people who aren't watching the episode. So there's a flat plank of wood in which the stones are on, and then the system developed essentially is there's three logs that are kind of rolling it, and as you kind of roll the sled across the logs, you know, one of them gets freed because it's away, so then you move that one in front of the other. Anyway,
but yeah, this is a very physical task. People are sweating, people are grunting, they're pushing with all their might. So we see teams getting going on that. We see Cammy and Carly complete the roadblock, jump out the puzzle pieces, push them to the side, and say, that must be for something else.
the escape room in me is like, no.
I know.
No.
And then we see Cammy, who's to camera, saying, Carly and I have no idea what we're doing. We're clueless. Cut to commercial.
And here, okay. I was also, at this point, I was sensing a non-elimination round, because when Phil introduced the pit stop way back when Colin and Christy checked in, he did his spiel of the last team to check in here may be eliminated, whereas the last couple legs he has said will be eliminated. So I went, oh, it's a non-elimination round.
And it was also, I think, a little bit less intense. Like, the producers weren't building it up as much, like who's going to be in last place. And it's also that kind of time of the season where they start rolling those out.
They do. So let me think. Chip and Kim, Myrna and Sharla check in, and then Chip and Kim finish the... Does someone finish the rock and roll before? Oh, Brandon and Nicole are third. Chip and Kim are fourth, which is a little bit of a downgrade from starting in first, but they don't seem too upset.
Yeah.
Then we have, but on the way to the pit stop, Chip and Kim see Cammy and Carly, who have completely disregarded their map and puzzle.
Running
aimlessly.
They don't
know where they're going.
Yeah.
Literally running aimlessly, just as the bowling moms are methodically figuring out where they need to go properly. And Chip and Kim decide that because they stole a taxi from Cammy and Carly earlier, they're going to take time out of their own journey to the pit stop and show them where they need to go.
I think them giving the hints to the twins loses them the third place to Brandon and Nicole. But then I also have a like rules question. If in that moment the twins decided to just follow Chip and Kim, is that allowed?
No, you have to, it's like checkpoints, you have to do them all.
Because that would be really funny if they just, like, snuck behind them to the checkpoint.
No, there's...
But this did happen in episode one, where teams inadvertently skipped a task and went straight to the pit stop, and then they made them turn around and go back and do the task before they could fully check in.
Yeah, it's... Because that's happened before, too, where teams will get somewhere and they just see Phil, and, like, that's it. They go to the pit stop, or they don't, if it's a similar thing of, like, if they read the clue incorrectly, like if it says you have to walk somewhere or and you drive, like, you'll incur a time penalty. Like, there are very specific instructions.
Yeah, so Chip and Kim and Cammie and Carly, they've squashed their beef. Chip says, Cammie, let me tell you, I love you guys. So they're all good. They're on good terms right now. We see Marshall and Lance in fifth with Marshall's knee. And Cammie and Carly, they do complete this sled task, although it does seem, when they first started showing them doing this task, I thought there was no hope, because they were like pulling it and it barely moved.
Yeah, but we also don't see any of the middle section. It's like we see them struggle and then, oh, mm-hmm. are they figuring out, cut away to them, cut to the bowling moms, cut back, they're done,
they're at the finish line. Okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is as much strength as it is technical.
I think it's more technique.
Yeah.
I think part of it is strength, though.
For sure.
You are rolling these huge, heavy bricks over a couple logs. Like, if you're not doing it right, you're not going to move anywhere. But I feel like there is, like, a level of strength to it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And they complete it, and they get lost once more while looking for the Sphinx. They really have been going through it, Cammie and Carly, these past few legs. They were looking strong at the beginning, but I think they're just kind of spiraling out of control.
Also, I'm so sorry. Like, I know that they've obviously they've gone through it, but the concept of, like, losing the Sphinx is so funny to me. Right? Just the idea of being like, where is it? Where did it go?
This
massive monument. And we should add, too, like, it's nighttime, but the large monuments in the plateau are being lit up by lights.
Yes. But Cammie and Carly are in sixth. They are very exhausted at the pit stop. They don't really give that much of a reaction here to surviving.
No. And here come the bowling moms.
Mm-hmm. Here they come. They're in last place. Phil lets them know that they're in last place. However, it is the first of four predetermined non-elimination legs.
Okay. Four is insane. That has to be said straight away. Four is an insane number of non-elimination legs. And also...
New twist.
The new rules.
Yeah. New twist. I guess they decided, okay, there needs to be some sort of punishment for coming in last if you're still going to be in this race. Because before it was just nothing, like they continue racing as usual. But now they said, we are going to take all of your money.
Which is crazy. So,
hand it in, Linda and Karen. I was going to call them Brenda and the team from season one. So hand it in, Linda and Karen.
Oh my God. More money
for you. Additionally,
Phil literally just says, like, give me your satchel or whatever bag you have. And yeah, they have to start the next leg with no money, and they will not be given any money at the start of the next leg.
So $0 for Linda and Karen, because after they, like, all their crumpled bills with, like, I don't know, like Kleenex or something comes out of their pocket that they're giving to Phil. And they're going to have to navigate this with $0. How are they going to get a taxi? How is this going to work?
And I have a crazy quote from them also. They go, and we're in Egypt where everybody's poor. What?
Yeah, this is like another product of its time where it's like, you could not say that anymore.
No.
On national television. No. It's going to be hard, but we're not going to give up, they do say. So I will say that I am intrigued about how they're going to navigate this.
I don't think it's going to last, though. I think this is going to be a one or two season run of this thing and then go, no. Because to me, all it's doing is just almost guaranteeing this team will be eliminated next time.
So, yes. Okay, that is season 5, episode 5. And you know what? This episode really had me saying, I love this show. I thought this was such a great episode.
I really liked the episode.
I know. It was one of, I think it's my favorite of this season so far, and it's sure. probably in my top 10 of what we've watched so far.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was very action-packed. We had a good task in Russia. We had the good transportation drama, but that didn't result in teams being so far apart at the back. I mean, Colin and Christy were... I'll be interested to see if they're able to maintain their lead and, like, how long that will last.
So they're going to get, like, a full 12-hour head start on the next thing, right?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Basically, honestly, if I think about it, when these teams were checking in, Colin and Christy were probably getting ready to go.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty soon.
Wow.
So this will be intriguing for episode 6 to see what happens.
It will. Sarah, any final thoughts, opinions on teams, the tasks, the locations, on the show itself?
I really liked it. I thought that it was a fun time. And I see why you guys like it so much. I do think that the Bowling Moms are going to be out very soon. Like, even if they didn't have, the penalty, they were not doing very well. Mm-mm. And they seemed like they didn't really know what was going on. So that's my guess for who's going to be gone next time.
Who do you, I forgot we asked this. Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And Andrew knows this because he spoiled it for himself.
Accidentally, years ago.
And he basically spoiled it for me because you are such a bad liar.
No, you don't know. I didn't say anything.
No, you didn't, but you said a lot without saying anything.
I would like it to be Colin and Christy, but I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I just feel like with the head start that they have right now, like, obviously a lot can change, but yeah. I feel like they're going to have really good morale, which will make them move faster in general. Because that is just typically how that works. So I feel like with the morale that comes from, like, a 12-hour head start, I feel like they'll be chilling at least for the next couple episodes. And then maybe have it out a little bit more.
And unless there's, like, a severe bunching up point where everybody comes together next episode, which I doubt would happen, because I feel like now they're going to probably stay within that Northern Africa area because they did so much travel these past couple of episodes. I feel like they will be good for a while.
Also, if they took their money, we will, like, see. I feel like they can't be going too far.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. Because what are they going to do? Are they going to have to, like, crowdfund money? Are they going to be begging on the street?
Who did that one season, though? They lost all their money and they stood outside of the station and just with a hat.
Yeah, that was season 2.
Oh, my God.
And they got a sign to saying, like, we're Americans, please help us. And, like, stood outside. So it can be done. It can be done.
Yeah.
And maybe it will be done for Linda and Karen next episode. But yeah, them and Cammy and Carly. I don't see both of those teams lasting very long, unfortunately.
No.
Okay.
Well, you guys know the drill. If there's any behind-the-scenes info you want to send us, amazingracerewind@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, amazingracerewind. Anything else I'm missing?
No. Thanks to Sarah for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
This episode, it's always good to
thank
have a guest.
Thank you for having me. I had fun.
We loved having you on, and maybe you will come back at some point. Who knows? Maybe the fans will be clamoring for your return. Yeah.
By popular demand of the two hosts.
Yes, by our popular demand. All right, well, that is all for us. We will see you next time with episode 6.
Bye.